welcome to Be Simply. This is She, and I want to give thanks to each and every one of you that are connecting in this moment. We are connecting to the alchemy of food in our roots, and today we're going to connect to Guayosa, Amazonian energy tea, and we have special guest Jonathan Miller Weisberger. He is the author of Rainforest Medicine, Preserving Indigenous Science and Biodiversity in the Upper Amazon. He is also one of the founders of this beautiful retreat center called Guaria de Oso, and it is located in the Oso Peninsula in Costa Rica. It is an experience that can't be really put into words, so if you have the opportunity, please go. In addition to him sharing his wisdom today, we would like to shine a light on this project, and we will do so further as we conclude our conversation. Without further ado, let's dive in. Jonathan, it's exciting to talk to you today about tea, special tea that you introduced me to when I brought a group down there to your property in the peninsula, and it really impacted me, both your land and the tea, and I was so excited to find out that you were distributing it, because that memory just held, and even though I had tried other products from other people, it wasn't the same, so I was very excited. So I thought we could start off by, if you could share a little bit about the Guayosa tea and your passion for it, and we'll just start there.
Yeah, well, ever since I was just a young kid, because I was raised in Ecuador, I was would drink Guayosa. Not so much in the mountains, because back in the days when I was a kid, I was raised in Ecuador, in Quito, in the mountains, but it wasn't that well known. It was mainly a drink that was drunk amongst indigenous families in the Amazon, mainly amongst Quechua and Shuar families at the base of the Andes in Ecuador. And but in the mountains, there was always Guayosa, and was mainly drunk by priests, because it was popular amongst the Catholic priests. So oftentimes families of like people who had like relatives that were monks or nuns in the Catholic Church knew about Guayosa, but then also it was also found in the bars, because they'd mix it with alcohol, make it like an alcoholic drink out of it. So, but now it's getting to be much more popular, but still not so much in the mountains, but all throughout the Amazon region and in restaurants all over the place. They'll serve it to you for lunch, something, you know, just five or more years ago you would never see. It was only drunk in families. But it's been drunk amongst families for years. I knew about it when I was a kid, because I visited the rainforest on several occasions. My parents took us down on vacations. We went to different lodges, you know, the small cabin in lodges that offered, you know, experiences into the jungle, and they always had the place to serve. But I remember when I was a kid, the times it served, she's always like really watered down, and it didn't like, this is like, didn't seem good or anything either, because, oftentimes they wouldn't boil it enough. But now, like, some time has passed, and the Guayosa culture has taken form, and it's like growing into a bigger thing now. And like I said, you can find it in almost all the restaurants in the towns of, let's say, Tena or Puyo, most of these small jungle towns at the base of the Andes. And it's quite nice, and they give you pictures of it. But when it's either dried and simmered for 15 or odd minutes, it's unlike a lot of teas. Most teas can be just like steeped, like, you know, make an infusion, and it's just quite fun. Like most herbal teas, chamomile, mint, for example, just a hot water infusion, even yerba mate, which is a close relative of Guayosa. But Guayosa, on the other hand, really to get the full body of flavors, has to be simmered for about 15 to 20 minutes. And the dried leaves, when they're simmered for like, you know, about 15 to 20 odd minutes, then it gains a nice golden hue, golden brown hue, and it has a very pungent smell. It's quite amazing. Then it has the full flavors as well.
It was really beautiful because you served it under the little hut, and you boiled it in an iron pot or something like that over an open fire. Can you share a little bit about, and we would talk about our dreams, but the connection of the integration with the Guayosa and coming in from the dreaming?
Well, a lot of times, for example, the Guayosa is used in the morning by the, you know, in traditional families to awaken at 3 in the morning. In the most traditional setting, for example, amongst, like, you know, Shuar or Quechua communities, especially in Pastaza province, the elder will start beating the drum at 3 in the morning, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, walking in a circle around the fire in the lodge, and everyone will start waking up, coming to drink guayusa, and then people will have dreams, they'll share their dreams, and then people will talk, and like the elders in particular who have more experience will interpret the dream, or sometimes we'll use that occasion to talk about the culture, or, you know, legends. There's lots of oral tradition, many occurrences of the past, teachings that usually talk through legends or also examples of situations that have occurred to people will be discussed. Or sometimes just that there's a problem going on, we'll analyze the situation and try to, you know, look into, oftentimes dreams are, you know, indicators towards the solution of problems. So people analyze dreams with that in context or related to anything that's going on or advise, you know. It occupies every morning in the traditional culture. We'll wake up every day at 3 in the morning to have these, you know, this time to be able to transmit, like I say, you know, cultural lore, or also to interpret dreams as a sign or a way of looking for signs to navigate in everyday life.
And can you share a little bit, what I've noticed is that I will smell it all of a sudden, even if it's not around, because I drink it every morning. Can you share a little bit about its magic to continue communicating with you, if you've noticed this?
It's magic?
Well,
communicating?
It's ability to communicate. I will often sense it when it wants to maybe have my attention, even though if I am not drinking it at the moment, I might be, like today, driving back from my class, I could smell it, even though
really?
It wasn't with me.
That doesn't surprise me one bit. You know, like, as it grows and it goes out, there's more and more stories that are going to come around, and, you know, this is something that's a phenomenon that's occurring now. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that guayusa is a sacred plant, and it's, for many reasons, it's, it helps people to be more strong, more alert, more vibrant, more healthy, more closer to a life in communion with celestial beings, with the celestial energies, to, you know, help create a heaven on earth environment wherever we go, and all that that means, and that can be explored at length, and is a beautiful thing. But oftentimes, plants are two spokespersons for their environment. So these plants now, since the, you know, upper Amazon is under threat now, from what seems like something that's never going to be stopped, and how that's going to be, you know, changed or not is capricious. It's getting to the point where almost we need an apocalypse to, like, you know, stop this wanton destruction that's just unleashed. You know, also the more people that wake up, also we can, you know, we have to, you know, keep optimistic, and the more, and, you know, anything is possible. Miracles can happen, and, you know, maybe enough people like the 101 Monkey Theory will wake up, and there'll be wanton transformations and shifts in consciousness, and maybe we'll be the lucky ones to witness that. But, you know, these plants are definitely playing a role as spokespersons of their environment. They're not just getting out the world over, and this is, I think, a really important message, that these plants are not just getting out because people all over the world deserve these energy elixirs, deserve these health-benefiting tonics. They're getting out because, yes, everyone has a spark of divine nature within ourselves, but because that has to be awakened so we can awaken as well the vision of unicity, and then as well we can awaken the cultural service. Once we're strong, once we receive the energy transmission from the plants, then it doesn't stop there. It just begins there. Then we awaken the cultural service to help in any way that we can to keep heaven on earth and continue seeing that this earth is a heaven as it really is.
And can you share a little bit about your guayusa tea house, your vision for it, and your inspiration, and who it is supporting, and what?
Of course, thank you. Yes, the guayusa tea house is a initiative that kind of is born out of, you know, trying to bridge this gap. We have indigenous culture in the Amazon and the forest that's slanted, that's falling out too for many reasons. The need for an economy, and down there, it's very difficult for people to make, or, you know, any kind of money without detrimenting the ecology in some way or another. It's either cash crops, or go logging, or working for the oil companies, or cattle ranching. Yeah, and there's some small-time economies that start to, like tourism and this ecotourism. But for the most part, it's really difficult for people to make any kind of money, without detrimenting the environment. This is like basically the drop in the bucket, sort of like a holographic intention, and that hopefully if it takes root and succeeds, it'll just grow little by little and grow, keep growing. The objective is to create an alternative economy for forest dwelling peoples. And it starts with basically on a small family level. I'm a godfather to this child who's now a young man in the village outside of Archidona, this Quechua village, and they have lots of guayusa there. And so we're starting with two families that we buy the tea from. And then but the objective is once we can create a large enough market, we want to purchase just from eight communities bordering this Napo Galeras National Park. It's a wilderness area that back in the day between 1990 and 1995, I worked with part of chapter 8 of the book, Rainforest Medicine, talks about the creation of the Napo Galeras National Park. So we're hoping to create alternative economies for some of these forest-dwelling people bordering the park, because the way to tea can be dried and, backpacked out, or much easier. And a lot of these communities way out in the sticks, they're actually still engaging cash crops like the growing of Marahia or wood, which is totally ruining their community trails and detrimental to the ecology. So essentially, this is a restoration and rainforest, it's a market-driven restoration and rainforest conservation initiative in the optimum hopes. And we can't say that we've gotten there yet, because it's just starting with two families. Yes, the two families we work with, they're also our old friends, are convinced. They have small family farms. They live closer to town. And some of them have become professionals and have different jobs. So like they're kind of, because of living closer to town, they've been able to make an alternative lifestyle for themselves. But the indigenous people who live deep in the woods are the ones that struggle and are more poor, have much more. But so we're working with these two communities, which have, upright economic needs too. Not that like they're made or anything, but some of the children have gone off to study because they've had that opportunity. But still, so we're buying seeds and hope from them to supply this initial, growing of the market. But eventually, once we, get big enough, the objective is to buy from these, indigenous communities and live farther out in the woods. But the angle that we're taking is to pay above market average prices. Mm. We already pay three times as much as any other of the guayusa buyers in the area pay, and some of them are international companies that export the tea to the United States and abroad. We pay three times as much as anyone else pays. And so once you're paying above market average value, then you have leverage. And what are we trying to leverage is restoration of degraded ecology and conservation. And of course, the growing of this completely organic. And so that's basically, in a nutshell, the initiative. And now it's slowly growing like the tree grows slow. I have clients now, and our mail order is growing, and we have, our tea in seven shops in Washington State at the moment.
Mm. As I mentioned, yours tastes different. So one, it's organic. Two, sending it in its dry leaf state versus chopping it. If you could share a little bit, because there's many vegetables and herbs that do not like to be chopped by knives. If you can share a little bit about your choice of keeping it whole and how that assists with its energy.
Yeah, well, there's two basic forms. One, well, the solution form is the people would make wreaths and they'd string a wreath in their kitchen and have it dry and then you boil like a handful of time. And so it's the whole leaf form. But oftentimes, too, when the tissues of plants are broken up, then there's more surface area, more of the actual constituents can be released. And of course, there's always a drawback because when plants are ground, then some of the essential oils that are more volatile, the top notes, what are called, evaporate. So with guayusa, it's a different thing. There are essential oils, of course, it has a super wide range of constituents, including extremely high amount of antioxidants. It's one of the highest containing, in fact, recent studies have demonstrated it to contain amongst the highest antioxidants of any known food supplement, second to raw cacao powder. And so it's more and more people are aware now of the value of antioxidants in terms of health benefits. Other constituents, like for example, the caffeine is quite stable. It can be ground. No one will deny that. That's all we have in both forms. We have the REIT form, which is a bit more expensive because of shipping costs, and it's more bulky. But we also are providing in a ground form. But we still, even though it's ground, we recommend people to either make a sun tea or they can put into the sun for not one day, but two or three days in full sun and strained. We also make a really nice guayucha, which is the kombucha mushroom with guayusa tea. It's an excellent combination. And then if it boils, just to simmer it for at least 20 minutes and then you can put it into Italian or French press, like a French coffee press, and squeeze it out of this pass through a strainer. So there is a bit more extra work involved in actually brewing a proper batch. It's not like so easy to go like throw a tea bag into a pot, which some people like. But when people do eventually, catch on to the flavor and the quality of a well-prepared batch of guayusa, nothing will stop them.
And can you share a little bit about the gifts or one of the gifts that it's given you over your lifetime? I don't know, you could pick one. I'm sure you've had many.
Well, one time we were out when we were on the Eastern Slopes. So anyway, one time when we were actually working, part of this adventure described in chapter 8 of the book on the East Slopes of Galeras Mountain, and in the year 2010, we lifted up this initiative and were successful in many regards to enlarge the national park to include this land area, vital for biological diversity and wildlife conservation, called the Huayrachina Sacha, the rainforest of the purifying winds. And we were out there doing some botanical surveys and drinking guayusa tea, and that day we were trying to get the branch off this cacao tree to identify it as a form of wild cacao. And we were throwing up a piece of twine with a little hook at the end to pull down a branch, can break off a branch that way to see what and make herbarium specimens. And we were all standing around, and it was taking us a while to get this branch down, and when suddenly realized that actually in the middle of the crowd was a deadly poisonous bushmaster, this poisonous snake. And it was, but he was like asleep. And we were looking, we all backed up, looked at it, and then just casually walked away and left it alone. And but he was like coldly asleep. In fact, I couldn't even believe it. I was like, I had to see for myself. So poked, he was a little sick, and lo enough, behold, it just stayed there, just kind of twiggled a little bit, or moved a little bit, but just kind of stayed slumped. And the locals said that it's because we were drinking lots of guayusa. When you drink guayusa tea, the negative energies can't affect you. So it protects one.
Oh, that's so beautiful. More incentive to drink it. Especially for those living on the North American continent.
You don't have poison snakes, but it enhances the immune system.
Yeah, we don't have poisonous snakes, but we have different kinds of snakes.
It protects the body. Other kinds of snakes it protects you from.
Yes, that's what I was getting at. And then if you can share a little bit about the effects on our biology, our human biology, and what it can assist with.
I'm not like a physician already. Hasn't been that many studies as well either. I can say, what I have felt by myself and what I've seen is, but for the most part, especially comparing traditional Amazonian medicine to traditional Chinese medicine, which is especially the holistic traditional Chinese medicine, there's a lot of similarity between traditional Amazonian medicine. It's quite interesting. And the traditional Chinese medicine has kind of evolved to the point where it's become part of mainstream, and it's with curriculum that teaches at universities. Now you even, some people in some places can get, with their health insurance, they can receive acupuncture, so forth and so on. But so according to the five element theory, the color black relates to the kidneys and to the water element, the kidneys and the urinary tract and the urinary bladder. So guayusa, and one of the qualities of the ilex trees, for example, when it's bruised a little bit, it's crumpled and let to dry, the spots where it's crumpled first will turn black. And then the leaf usually dries very dark. And the tea itself, it's like just a modest amount is boiled, which is the best way to drink it. It's like a golden brown. It's good. When it gets black, it's a little too strong. And it's more medicinal than an aromatic tea, you know, like it's recommended for daily use to drink it brown or golden brown, but for medicinal purposes, it can be boiled extra strong and drunk black as well for the kidneys. And so it's very good. It helps to cleanse the kidneys and cleanse, I mean, women into all the lower organs, essentially, since the kidneys, the urinary bladder and the urinary tract are down in the lower area of the body. It helps then as well as to sexual imbalances, or dysfunctions in men and women in ovaries or in distant genitals. It can help to regulate, not all, but a lot over time, especially if it's drunk daily. And then it also helps to cleanse the kidneys and the urinary tract. If someone with a urinary tract infection, if they drank it daily, it definitely would help. And but it's also, and I think for more than actually healing herb, it's more like a medicine, more than actually a medicine, it's preventative medicine. Because if it's drunk daily, it helps to, because of the high level of antioxidants, it helps to, you know, prevent the body from having free radicals stick to it. If it's drunk daily, every day, it goes helping, especially hot, really hot, it helps the pores to sweat. And it's very alkaline, so it absorbs acidity and helps cleanse acidity from the body. All these are basically precursors to maintaining health. It helps keep the immune system strong as well. Oftentimes, like someone who drinks Guayusa and they go out in the cold, you know, rain or get winded, they won't get a cold. If someone who wasn't, you know, because it helps to enhance the, it's very warm. It's good for, but also it's a lot of people call it the dream, like a dream tea. And it's funny. It does also, it's very good for people with a weak disposition or, because it helps, the kidneys are the source of energy, so as it cleanses the kidneys, it helps them to work better too. So function, the kidneys' energy rises, transforms, the kidneys transform basically, you know, the energy from grains and whole foods into the form that's absorbable by the body. So if people have kidney stagnation, that's a major problem today. They don't get the most of the benefit from the food they're eating. So Guayusa, by cleansing the kidneys, helps one to absorb, especially if one eats a holistic diet, to gain more energy from the food. Therefore, it's vitalizing. So that's why the next step is, once you are touched by the vital qualities of these plants, is to, and once one receives energy, is to begin to apply that to one's daily life and then extend that beyond one's own needs, but to help other people too, to awaken the culture of service. That's why in the morning, early in the morning, it's used to lift up the traditional culture. But all the indigenous cultures are based on a perspective of unicity, the true culture. So to selflessly serve someone else is to help oneself.
Mm. And I love that about you, that you always bring it back there to service.
Yep.
And now we have a tea that we can drink that can motivate us to be there. How, well, I think I already know the answer. This tea has motivated you to do a direct market initiative to restore and preserve the rainforest and what you've done there in the Oso Peninsula. If you want to share a little bit of your offerings that you have there, I would love to include that in this recording so people can be inspired to come see you in person.
Thank you so much. Well, right now I live in Costa Rica, where we're talking, calling me at, and we have a lodge here, Guardia de Osa, in the English name is Orchid of the Osa, and orchidoftheosa.com is the website. There we have a visitor center. We have different, once here we have traditional owners from Ecuador come to visit the lodge, and we have even a shaman unification. So from the Sequoia village, they come, because we work many years with the Sequoia, that's outlined in chapter 7 of the book. That's some of the cicadas. I just got back from a really cool, we did a tour down to the Sequoia territory, and we're hoping to organize more of those every year. That's a really amazing adventure that is an economic alternative for some of the elders and families there, and to help bridge this, you know, cross-cultural gap between the indigenous cultures and the West. Again, back to what I was saying, the indigenous culture is like a slanted culture, because they need the money now, but then also Western culture is slanted too, because, you know, we don't have all the answers. And, you know, the way that we're making money is also degrading the environment. But the tea-drinking culture, these are the most conscientious cultures. So hopefully, like, the two spears crossed is the symbol. There's a metal spear that's slanted and the wooden spear that's slanted. But both spears together hold each other up. And the X is like a rune, a positive, the rune of a positive venture coming forth. this part of this initiative and all the work we do is to create intercultural exchange and offer people from the West, conscientious people from the West who are interested in learning more about indigenous culture, that opportunity. So we also do tours once a year down to the Sequoia. Just last year, well, actually this last month in March, we did an amazing adventure down to the wilderness, Blackwater Lagoons, wilderness region of Lagarta Coach on the Ecuadorian-Peruvian border. That was just legalized to the Sequoia as part of their ancestral territory and very close to the very sacred lands of theirs that's talked about in the book where the Creator lived on the earth. And so the others love to go there. We did this epic adventure, and it's funny, since our lodge in Costa Rica is called the Orca de Osa, and it rained a lot, but the one of the beautiful days that we had out on these wilderness lakes, we came across this purple orchid in full bloom, and that was really cool. And I got to take some photos of that.
Yeah.
But the Sequoias come here once or twice a year, and they love the experience here, so that's an open invitation for those who feel the calling. We have these annual council gatherings here on the Osa Peninsula, and then we got one or two trips to Ecuador per year. That's all up on our website and the calendar events. And then the Guayusa tea can be purchased at the website guayusatea.com. We have a direct outlet. Jeremiah Reese is our U.S. business partner. He sells the tea in quarter-pound bags in Reese. And they could be, you could, anyone can just order them online, and you know, he'll have that sent to you quite quickly. And right now we're growing slowly, but surely we're actually in the need to expand more in order to get, you know, large enough quantities to ship. And so we're hopefully, but we're, you know, we're a very small company. So we're also looking for celestial investors who believe in what we do and would like to donate them to this cause.
Beautiful. I like that. Celestial investors.
Well, basically, we have to, we need people who like have money and want to go, look, I'd like to see how this grows and give us a small grant, because right now we have to build a whole series of dryers in these villages and a dryer in the mountains, because to get the tea out and keep the price low, we need to ship it from the coast in Guayaquil, and for that we have to have a storage facility in the mountains because it's too humid in the rainforest, where we can go drying it from the villages in small amounts, sending it to the mountains, where we can get eventually a 5,000-pound container full and then ship that to the States. And that's going to help keep the cost down, because unfortunately, because of air cargo, it's been pretty expensive. So we're just breaking even. We're just right now supplying our customers, but we're not making any money. And so we'll sort of be between the rock and the wall. So this really, to grow, we'll definitely need like a celestial donor of like $10,000 or $20,000, which is really not that much money. But and actually, donations can be made tax deductible through the Living Bridges Foundation as well.
Okay, and we'll put that on there, and I'd be happy to pay double per bag. So maybe you can have a name. Maybe you can have a name your price button too.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, it's all just. So thank you very much for that beautiful initiative.
Well, Jonathan, I'm excited to share the Guayusa Tea House, and now that we know more about it, that not even just beyond what the tea does, I can only attest that it's been very magical for me. But now we have a hand in preservation if we so to choose. So thank you for all that you do. It's really just so incredible.
Well, yeah, much pleasure. Thanks for having a good time.
Once again, I want to thank Jonathan for joining us today. Please, if inspired, connect to the links below. You can support his work by purchasing his book, supporting the tea, and or taking a visit down to the Oso Peninsula. It is a gift to yourself to completely unplug from the world and be nourished by the jungle. Until next time, this is She signing out with a deep bow, a soft gaze, a full heart, and a namaste. Be simply.